Did you know that the War of the Worlds, the original book written by H.G. Wells back in 1897, was inspired by the story of Tasmania's indigenous peoples? H.G. Wells visited Australia, and he didn't quite make it across to the Tasman, Tasmania, but he did hear of the devastation of their communities and culture. And now, more than a century later, we have a collection of fictional stories inspired by the War of the Worlds with an Australian twist. Joining me is Kerry Greenwood and Lindy Cameron, who have contributed to the book with their short story, The Saltwater Battle. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, darling.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank
you.
Now,
tell me this. What was, first of all, the story takes place in Footscray.
Yes.
What was the inspiration for that? Was it the invasion of the hipsters or what?
No, I live here.
Oh, you live in Footscray.
I live in Footscray.
Right,
so
that was a good
child. So I sound like a good plate to start with.
It was a fascinating read to see a science fiction story based in such local references for me. I was here seeing words like Williamstown and Newport, and I was getting very excited and getting sucked into the story because of it.
Thank you, darling. I'm most impressed.
The interesting thing about the original War of the Worlds is when I reread it just recently, was that I noticed that H.G. Wells tried to put every single suburb that his character walked through. Like, it was like he had to mention every place and not forget anywhere.
Right.
So when Kerry and I were sort of talking about writing this story together, naturally it had to be Footscray because
it
was the other side of the river from Melbourne in 1897. Well, it still is. But we wanted to put as many of the local streets and institutions and things in that we could to demonstrate how much of Melbourne existed right back then.
So. Right. And so how, Kerry, how geographically accurate did you feel that you needed to be when you're describing the positioning of, say, an attack in Williamstown?
We're accurate. We're very careful.
Especially with the timeline as well, Lindy, that, you know, you had to make sure some of these things still held up if you actually did the history behind it.
Yeah. So, for instance, we've got a lot of fictitious characters, obviously, but we also mentioned some real ones. So we mention the then Premier of Victoria, whose name is totally escapes me right now, but he is a real character. He only just gets a mention. He gets a mention, as does the captain of the Footscray Football Club.
I saw that.
So he's a real person, and the local mayor of Footscray at the time, he's also a real person, whereas everyone else is fictitious for the purposes of being, you know, bashed around by a few Martians landing in dust.
There is a point, yes.
I'm fascinated by the writing process in general because as someone who performs live, my writing is very much just dot points in my notebook, and then I just waffle on stage and see what sticks. But when it comes to a collaborative effort between two people, how do you approach putting this story together, the both of you?
We talk a lot.
Yes.
We keep talking and we keep thinking about it, and then we have another combination again. And
Kerry, take me through the story. So how did you first even, in terms of joining forces, where did that start
from? Oh, this is Lindy's my dear friend.
The first story that we collaborated on together, it was actually a Sherlock Holmes story for a previous collection that one of the three editors of this book put together. So Chris Sequeira last year put together a book called Sherlock Holmes, the Australian Casebook.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he invited Kerry to do a story for that, and Kerry said only if Lindy will co-write this one with me, because we'd been talking about doing something like that. So we did that for Chris, and then that book was quite successful, and so he then came back to me and said, would you and Kerry be interested in writing a story for the next one that I'm doing, which is War of the Worlds? And we said, well, yes.
So
only our most other favourite thing, sci-fi and Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Of course we said yes. And in this particular instance, he went back to the same publisher who said, I'm sorry, we don't do sci-fi. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so he came back to me and said, I'm still looking for a publisher. And I said, go look at all the big publishers, and if you can't find one, come back to me. I happen to be a publisher as well, which he knew. And I don't know how hard he looked for anyone else, but I am actually the publisher of this book. But I just want everyone to know that Kerry and I were invited into the collection before I became its publisher.
Thank you, darling. Yes, it's so kind.
So the interesting thing is, once we decided that, because Kerry said it has to be set in Melbourne, it has to be set in Footscray, and I said, of course. And then we were chatting about the characters, and we decided this time that the heroes would be two women. just for fun. And then I thought, oh, why don't we introduce one of the characters from our Sherlock Holmes story into this one?
Like a crossover universe.
Like a crossover universe. Yeah. So
that was fun to you. It was such fun.
So a character who was 13 years old in the Sherlock Holmes story is 21, I think, in this one, all grown up and studying medicine in Melbourne.
This is Harriet,
yes. So,
thank you.
Yes. So she was young Harry, a bit of a tomboy in the Sherlock Holmes story, and in this she's a doctor in waiting.
Mm. Right. And Kerry, has that inspired you to potentially take Harriet into other areas?
Yes, because I thought she was gorgeous. She was such an excellent creature, and I wanted her to do it again.
We could potentially, I mean, you've had her in a Sherlock Holmes story, you've had her now in a War of the Worlds story. Mm. Is there a Batman story that we can introduce? Little Harry, as maybe the Robin sidekick that was an unspoken, the Australian Robin sidekick.
Well, lovely idea.
Yes.
I'm happy for you to run with it. Just give me a little wink in the storyline if it ever happens.
We'll comment. Yeah. We will.
the annoying thing is, on one level, is that having her in a Sherlock Holmes story means that the world is still a normal world.
Yes.
Having her now in a War of the Worlds story means that she now lives in a world where Martians have destroyed Melbourne. So
it's kind of been damaged.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with a storyline that actually suits, you know, a destroyed Melbourne.
Well,
yeah.
It's only totally destroyed. Some of it's still there.
There's still potential for the sequel.
More or less, yes.
Tell me this, Kerry. Well, how exciting is the prospect of when you, without giving too much away about the Martians themselves, but you guys then all of a sudden have this freedom to create completely new creatures, essentially, with your own design. How exciting is that process when you have such a black canvas?
It was wonderful. Instead of being the story that somebody has to play that you've got from somewhere else, we did it for us.
Yes.
And we had such fun.
Is there any particular characteristic that you were most excited to introduce from the aliens?
The cutters?
Yeah, the scuttlers. Scuttlers.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're the tripods themselves and the Martians themselves, it was sort of a universally decided with all of the authors, unconsciously, I think with all of the authors in the collection, that the Martians themselves and the war machines that they had should look the way H.G. Wells had them, but other details could be fiddled with.
So you were given certain guidelines.
We just went with it because it makes sense.
Right.
You know, if the Martians were invading London in H.G. Wells' story, then if they're invading here, they have to be the same Martians.
Right.
How they might evolve over the years, because that's the thing about this story, it's got three timelines in it, is different. But it also gave Kerry and I a license to, you know, we wanted something smaller that our characters would meet on the ground.
Yeah.
And so we invented the Scuttlers, which is kind of like a little, I don't know, a little, little mo- it's like a mini tripod, that is sort of at ground level, just for one Martian to be in to get around at ground level, rather than stomping around the landscape and zapping
with
everything.
The bigger machines,
pew, pew, pew.
Yes.
That was fun too.
Yeah,
and also you have that freedom then now to introduce Australian-based weapons as well.
Exactly,
exactly.
A cricket bat.
Yeah,
what is a better Australian-based weapon than a cricket bat?
I thought it was perfect.